Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent. Mm-hmm. And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation, of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh, my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean, what grade? You know, like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade. You know, and come on, listen. Mm-hmm. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence.
I know.
You know, you're thinking baseball, football,
yeah,
video
fireworks,
games. Yeah, you know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I didn't. You know, I'm speaking for myself.
I don't remember learning it as a kid, tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then what you do learn is just from really, you know, a worldly perspective, and you mm-hmm. know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this, and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, mm-hmm. because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ, but now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, right. I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I'm a new person here. You know what I'm saying? I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now.
Oh,
it's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised, but I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey,
right,
but I want
right.
to go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. History. Mm-hmm. I want to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, mm-hmm. you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document, mm-hmm. you know, and I wanted to see, I mean, there's so much history that, I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took it in the sides, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. Philly, if anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed, mm-hmm. think about it, nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how many people, I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there, or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know of.
Nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no.
Yeah,
when was
right.
the last time you seen them? They're banging the gates.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody want to go over there.
Mm-mm.
You know, and there's a lot of countries like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd. We celebrate July 4th, 1776. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution was in 1787.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned this house.
Right.
And Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. We got to go away from the ministry. Oh, yeah. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document.
Mm-hmm.
And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth a nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're going to put this on the torch. We're going to put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way, look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes, I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. that was so good. I want to hear that again.
All right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like. Mm-hmm. All the radio segments. You can email them. And many, many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so mm-hmm. if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening, and this, by all means, please continue to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown
mm-hmm.
Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner,
uh-huh.
think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh,
Pat. Pat, this is an amazing document.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. And how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
This is
the king there. It took men and women with guts,
mm-hmm.
with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of, I don't want to say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Pat, those words, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator.
Mm.
Hello.
Amen.
Acknowledgement of God. With certain unalienable rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. And so he goes on to say that, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them, to secure these rights. Okay? We got to talk about this because really, how many people, myself included, you know, how many, have we taken the time to read the, any of our documents?
All right.
You know?
Sorry.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, check this out, Pat, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about reflipping nation just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying that it's a right. When these people start encroaching, when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights, that's it.
Right.
We, you know, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what they're saying is it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay, and listen to this. The history, he writes, the history, I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence, the history of the present king of Great Britain, I'm going to repeat it again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having indirect object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. And, you know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
A ruler who oppresses the poor, okay, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. Mm-hmm. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But, Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. And when you think about driving rain, driving rain. I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planter, but you know, I've seen crops. You know, I've seen gardens. You know, but you see little seedlings. You know, right, or little right. like you know green leafy things. All right, don't uh-huh. laugh at me. But you see green, and they're growing. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of mm-hmm. rain. You right. know, a driving rain, and rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance. You know, saying you know it's good. But the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has impressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beat up and just tore up. Mm-hmm. And whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, mm-hmm. it shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, mm-hmm. 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case. Right. We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're mm-hmm. saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts of what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Mm-hmm. It says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them mm-hmm. unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. Mm-hmm. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. He was abolishing their local government, if you will. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them to house soldiers on their own property. Pat, think about this. He was mm-hmm. forcing them.
Right.
Okay? He resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England. It's right. like, hello, it's a little bias here. Right. You know, how can I get a fair new our judicial system? Although it may not be perfect all the time, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good system.
Right.
And so he resists the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England, putting military authority and power over civilian authority. Like a police state, if you will.
Right.
It's like, what in the world is the military doing over, you know, restricting their ability to trade with foreign countries, conducting sham trials of government, officials accused of wrongdoing, levying taxes without their consent? And the list just goes on.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, I mean, this is a world superpower at the time. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine the conviction. You got to imagine what the colonists were going through, what these brave men were about to do. Mm-hmm. And the height of the suffering and the height of the injustices that were occurring. And so it was time for them to do something. And so they sent this document and I like it. I'm getting here to the end of it here, and I like where he writes in the Declaration of Independence. He has abdicated the government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas and ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty, pertify, scarcely parallel to the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation.
Wow.
And then later on he goes on to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned. Now, these are noble men, Pat. Mm-hmm. We have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. It's like adding insult to injury. I mean, they're saying, listen, I mean, let's work this out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do this, but you're pushing our hand here. And my goodness, I mean, if you're a leader, it's like, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? If you're, you know, God listens to the cries of those that are being, you know, falsely persecuted and the injustices that are occurring. God is watching. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes on, and it's amazing how they came together. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, Pat.
All right.
Okay? And so it finishes. They say they're going to, you know, absolve their allegiance from the British crown. Okay? They have a right to be their own nation. And the very last line says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Wow.
What men?
Talk about commitment.
Talk about commitment, man. Talk about faith. Talk about standing up for what's right. And it's going to take, you know, us as Americans, us as believers who love this country, not to sit idly back. You know, and to appreciate that the country that we love, the country that we have the freedom of speech, the country that we can read our Bibles, Pat, that we can can have fellowship in church, that we just shouldn't take it lightly. That the Constitution is something to be admired, to be respected, and absolutely to be defended, because our rights matter.
That's right.
And if we come, you know, and just allow changes to be made just because people wanted to change them. So this is not what the founding fathers had in mind. Mm-hmm. And any law that restricts, you know, your ability to worship God, oh my goodness, no law at all. It's like, wait a minute, you can't restrict, you know, our rights to serve God. So it's important, you know, a lot of names that we hear familiar, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and, you know, Benjamin Franklin. You know, many of these men, 56 of them signed it, and basically they knew that, hey, if this doesn't go well,
that's right,
off with our heads. You know, they're
taking a big chance.
That's right. You know when you're committed when you put your name on it, right?
Amen.
Maybe that's where we got that phrase, put your John Hancock on it, you know, put your signature on it. You know? And so I just want to encourage, you know, America, I want to encourage the church that this is our time to appreciate, you know, our country, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.